latest star turn for Tom Cruise and yet another remake. The Mummy is leading off our triple feature today with film critic Kevin Carr, host of Fat Guys at the Movies, which airs tomorrow evening at 6 here on News Talk 590 WVLK. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Now, I guess this is a strategy by Universal Studios to do for its monster catalog, like Frankenstein and Dracula and The Mummy, what Marvel and DC's doing for superheroes, create a series of interlocking movies in which each big-budget production serves as a trailer for the next one, and if you're a fan, you don't want to miss a single episode in the saga, right?
That's what they're trying to do, but of course they got to start out somewhere, so they're starting with The Mummy, which obviously was originally made in 1932, a straight-up horror movie. And then they kind of made it an adventure movie in the 90s with Brendan Fraser. And this one is cut more from that action film adventure cloth. You've got Tom Cruise playing a treasure hunter who inadvertently releases a mummy with a curse, and she's running around trying to bring Set, the Egyptian god, to physical form. And I mean, there's some elements to it that are fine, that work. I think some of the effects are good, and some of the some other people's acting is pretty decent. The biggest struggling point this has, and I said this to the rep when I left the movie, I said if there's anything I would have done to make it a better movie, I would have just not had Tom Cruise in it, because he tends to sort of make one kind of movie, and it works for Mission Impossible, but not everything. And it's he's also in his 50s trying to play a spy in his 20s or 30s.
Yeah.
It just doesn't quite work for me.
Yeah, but he still looks boyish at 54, doesn't he? I mean,
I mean, at some point you're going to see a headline where he sort of, maybe he'll stop making movies and then he'll just forget to dye his hair.
Yeah.
And then you'll see a headline saying, Tom Cruise doesn't dye his hair, and all of a sudden, poof, old guy.
Yeah. So you'd have cast somebody else. What about Russell Crowe? Now, that's a pretty accomplished actor. He leads a secret society dedicated to dealing with supernatural threats in this movie.
If you've seen any of the other big franchise movies, like, you know, there's always a movie somewhere that hits pause on the story and then has to explain how this universe worked. We saw that in Iron Man 2 when Nick Fury shows up to talk to Tony Stark, and they take, you know, 15 minutes to talk about the Avengers. You got to have that in every movie, and you had that in Batman versus Superman when Wonder Woman was trying to steal this picture, and they ran across files of Flash and Cyborg and Aquaman. I actually like that portion of this movie because I kind of want to see a multiverse of monsters in it. And Russell Crowe plays Henry Jekyll, which, you know, from the Jekyll and Hyde story. I'm all for this kind of a franchise. The problem is they're rushing it and trying to put the cart before the horse, and at the same time, they're anchoring a great story around Tom Cruise, and I don't know if he's got the longevity to make this thing work.
I see. And how do they then tease Frankenstein and Dracula from the Mummy, or do they?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if they do, because there was no stinger at the end of the movie of the print I saw, but that they may have only put that in release print. So maybe there is a little bit of a nod to that.
Okay. Well, just know they're coming, I guess. I don't know when they're supposed to be released, but there'll be an updated Frankenstein and Dracula, and I don't know, will they do the Creature and Godzilla and...
Well, they're gonna do, they got Creature from the Black Lagoon they wanna do, they wanna do Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, they've already got Dr. Jekyll introduced, they wanna do the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Godzilla is owned by a different company, and Warner Brothers is already trying to set the stage for a large kaiju monsterverse, and there was a little bit of a teaser for Godzilla versus King Kong at the end of Kong Skull Island. So that's a totally different group of movies.
So even the monsters are under contract to the studios, and it takes lawyers to litigate, you know, if the Creature of the Black Lagoon can get loose, or, you know, whoever they got under contract. Next movie is a psychological horror movie called It Comes at Night, about an isolated family battling an unnatural force.
Yeah, there's this, it's being billed as a horror movie, and it's being marketed with the trailers and posters as a horror movie. And I actually caution anybody who's a big horror movie fan not to go in expecting that. I was wanting to see this movie about something strange in the wood coming out and killing people and attacking people, sort of a modern monster movie or something like Evil Dead. You don't get that. This is done as a much more grounded movie, and it's more of a thriller than anything else. It's about a family living in an old house in the middle of the woods, trying to save themselves from a plague that has kind of swept the land. And they let another family in because they want to keep their humanity, but they also realize that this may have caused problems with keeping the whatever was in the house under control. It's not a ghost story. It's not a monster movie. It's more about humanity and how humanity's way of becoming a monster. So understand that going in, because otherwise it can be quite divisive. But overall, it's a well-made, well-paced, creepy film.
Yeah, again, sort of the psychological horror type film.
Yeah.
And finally, we got My Cousin Rachel. And what is this about? It's about a guy who plots revenge against his cousin because he thinks she murdered his guardian.
Yeah, something to that extent. It's originally written by the Daphne DeMar, who did the original stories for The Birds and also for Rebecca. And it's the story of a guy who he's the heir to an estate, and his sort of surrogate father, who owns the estate, falls in love while he's overseas with this woman, and he mysteriously dies. And so when she comes back, the guy's like, well, I'm suspicious of you, and I'm going to torment you. And then he's like, oh, hey, you look like Rachel Weisz. That's kind of nice. Let's be in love now, you know?
Yeah.
So he gets a bit sidetracked into his revenge plot. And this is a nice sort of period piece with a sort of a gothic feel to it. The problem that I had with it is there's parts of the movie that are really predictable and very easy to see through. And I think that's more the fact that it's an old story. It's not a brand new story. And so it may have started to create those stereotypes in the original in its original publication.
Yeah, anybody we know in this movie?
Rachel Weisz is in it. She plays Rachel, and she's actually one of the most recognizable roles she's been in was in the 1999 version of The Mummy.
Yeah.
So she's kind of out on the same weekend. There's also Sam Claflin, I think is how you say his name.
Mm-hmm.
He was in The Hunger Games. You might recognize him slightly, but it's really on Rachel Weisz's shoulders.
Wow, a lot of horror and psychological thrillers in this week's mix.
Yeah, that tends to be, it's odd. It seems to be the horror setup, the would-be horror movie setup for 2017 summer.
Yeah, it would seem to be that way. There's lighter stuff coming, though, isn't there?
Eventually, yeah. We got Cars 3 next week, and you've got Despicable Me 3 coming up. You've got, the Spider-Man Homecoming. So you got some more adventuresome and kids-oriented stuff, but this week tends to be the darker films, even though The Mummy is trying to be a little more broad.
Yeah, and a lot of special effects in that movie, supposedly, too.
Yeah.
Kevin Carr, host of Fat Guys at the Movies, tomorrow night at 6. Thanks, Kevin.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
Next week, Kevin Carr will be with us on Friday.